And you are listening to the Ari Zolden Show on 710 WOR, the voice of New York. I am here with the CEO of Predictive Oncology and the Senior Vice President of Strategic Sales and Business Development, Dr. Pamela Bush. Hello, everyone. Great for you to join the program.
Glad to be here.
Hello, Ari.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you to the both of you for your time. Let's start, Mel, with you. What is Predictive Oncology?
Predictive Oncology began back in 2018 as a result of an acquisition that was between Skyline Medical, at the time was the name of the company, and Helomics is the essential core of our business right now. So the merger was put together in 2018. It took several years to consummate through. That moved the company from being a company focused on medical devices to be focused on cancer. And so Helomics is in the artificial intelligence business within cancer. The cancer area. Our mission statement is to accelerate patient-centric drug discovery to improve patient outcomes in cancer treatment, harnessing artificial intelligence. That's a simple statement of the company, but that's really the area that we're in. And as a result of that, we've been working on the research end of things for about 3 years. And we have an exciting development now is that we've actually come out with a technology that's been validated that we're going to be taking to the market in the next month or so. And Dr. Bush was hired to make that happen. So why don't I turn it over to Dr. Bush and explain what you're doing?
Amazing. Amazing. Dr. Bush, can I just ask you before you go into it, just some of your credentials and your background?
Absolutely. Thank you, Ari, and thank you, Mel, for that introduction. My name is Pamela Bush. I am a doctor of molecular biology and genetics from Carnegie Mellon University. I have worked in academia, in economic development, in small companies, in large companies. I have an MBA from Carnegie Mellon University, and my most recent work was at Eli Lilly and Company, where I held different positions in finance, corporate business development, and the commercialization of some of our drugs. I have worked across the funding continuum for life sciences. My passion is oncology, so I am more than delighted to be here and help commercialize the technology that Mel was talking about and bringing it to the customers that are going to be able to accelerate the development of oncology compounds and bring them to patients.
Great. And you mentioned customers. Who are the customers?
Absolutely. So the main customer for the artificial intelligence platform and product that Predictive Oncology has, we call it PEDAL, is biopharma companies. All companies that are developing compounds in oncology would be suited to and benefit from using the platform that we have, the PEDAL platform.
Great. And talk to me about Discovery 21. I know there's some very exciting updates on that. I'm sure the audience would love to hear about.
Absolutely. Discovery 21 is the name of the set up and the experiment that was set up to validate the PEDAL platform by Predictive Oncology. So it has been months in working. It has been a lot of effort that has put together to validate this platform. And what it does in essence is it allows for an efficient testing of different drugs against different types of tumors in a smart way to be able to then determine what are the best drugs that we would be testing. In the case of Discovery 21, we tested over 100 drugs against over 100 tumor samples in ovarian cancer. And by only testing a few of these combinations in the laboratory, the artificial intelligence platform was able to determine which would be the best compounds for the tumor types. So I'll be happy to answer any additional questions that you may have or clarify any of the points that you would see adequate.
Great. Mel, wanted to switch over to the business side of things. As a CEO of Predictive Oncology, what are some of the things that keep you up at night?
Well, I think that while we're a small company, we're evolving from being only into being commercial and being a commercialization company that's going to take an approach that we have not been in the marketplace doing. However, our management team is very experienced in that area. All of our top managers have been in a commercialization setting and in a research setting. So this should be a relatively easy transition. Pamela is obviously very experienced in this area as well. So I'm looking forward to the breakout of this new product in a big way as we're going to be launching in the next several months, but it's not anything I lose any sleep over. It's one that I'm very delighted about.
And is talent acquisition in your sector challenging because you're moving from a research phase to a commercialization phase?
It's amazing. We just hired a director of marketing the other day, and we had, I don't know, five or six candidates lined up at the door wanting the job. And we narrowed it down to three candidates, and it was real tough for us to do. So there was a very large interest in our company. We haven't had any turnover during the pandemic. The employee morale is high. We have a really good thing going here. It's an exciting time to be with the company. I'm very happy from a CEO standpoint not to have to go through the trials and tribulations of recruiting people. And Pamela was came aboard relatively quickly when we put the one ad out there. And so we were able to get her away from the interview process into the working process, which is essential for time to market for us. So we're in pretty good shape from a human resources standpoint.
So I can say that the company is just buzzing with excitement right now. We have the platform validated, and there's great excitement to bring this to market. And as we went through the hire of the individual that is coming to work for us in marketing, there was much interest in joining this field. It is an innovative company. It has a very cutting edge product. And we're working in the field of oncology, where the ultimate goal is to help patients. So it is very exciting, and it is easy for people to be excited about the mission of the company. So it has been a fantastic process and a fast one at that.
You mentioned, Dr. Bush, you mentioned artificial intelligence. If you could break down, it's a big buzzword.
Yeah.
If you could break down exactly what AI is and where are we in the evolution of that as it relates to biotechnology and biotech research?
All right. So let me start with the basic definition of artificial intelligence. And the way that I think about artificial intelligence is the ability of machines to do thinking. Any thinking or any with information that it's fed, how can it make decisions based on that information that is given? That is different, obviously, than natural intelligence, which is what humans have, what animals have. So that's where the artificial part comes. The intelligence part is on the thinking and making decisions. The way that we utilize that at Predictive Oncology is in the ability to have a platform in which the information that is fed into the system is the information related to the potential drugs that are being studied. It is the information on the patients or tumor samples that are being studied. As Mel mentioned earlier, we are a patient-centric company. We want to use that patient information in the drug development process. Right now, it is not realistic to be able to use all of that information early in the drug development process. So we have a way with a platform to be able to incorporate that differences between patients early on in the drug discovery. You asked about the use of artificial intelligence in the industry, and there's multiple areas in which it can be used. It can be used in drug discovery, which is in the earliest part of the process. It can be used in supply chain, in manufacturing, and commercialization. We are focused, Predictive Oncology is focused on the drug development and the drug discovery part of the value chain.
And amazing. Is the industry there yet? Meaning has the biotech sector actually, are we caught up to where you guys are headed?
I think that we have a very innovative product that we're going to be bringing. I think that we have an advantage over other companies in the patient samples that we have. As Mel mentioned earlier, the company was started by the acquisition of an organization or of a company called Helomics. And this is a company that for many years has been working on testing actual patient samples with different drugs. And all of that information can be used and can be leveraged in the drug discovery process. So that is something that our platform, our artificial intelligence platform, PEDAL, is able to bring to drug discovery and to our partners. The industry, pharma, biopharma, is very much interested in utilizing artificial intelligence in being able to expedite, to make things safer, to make things faster. So there's multiple areas in which it can be brought. In our case, it's drug discovery, and we bring the patient to that process.
And is this a question of a best in class versus only in class? Or neither, or can it be neither? Can it be a combination?
At this point, it is, we are looking to be able to be best in class for our biopharma partners. But as we are just, as Mel mentioned earlier, we are getting ready to go to market. So those are all things that we're going to learn as we go through the process.
Yeah, we're early, I think, in the scheme of things. So we're both, I guess, to your question.
And as a publicly traded company, Mel, what are some of the advantages and disadvantages of being a biotech company?
I think the primary advantage is the visibility that you have. We're a NASDAQ company, and so we're traced through a lot of different eyes. And also, we're able to raise money in the market, in the stock market itself, without having to do private investment. I'm on the board. I was on the board of a private company, and it took, I don't know, months and months, almost a year to be able to raise the money necessary to get their product through the FDA process. We are in a situation where we have relatively easy access to capital. We raised a sizable amount of money last year doing that. And we plan on utilizing that vehicle downstream as we get started, because this is a cash use proposition when we're getting into the sales business, but nevertheless, it will prove to have fruit that comes along with it downstream. But it's a natural when you're investing into a new technology like this.
And what's the timeline, the horizon milestones, if you could get into some of the brass tacks of that?
We're launching this year, so that's the milestone number one. And milestone number two would be we want to come out with a second generation product. That's a natural kind of thing that happens after you've had time with your customers and be able to perfect the science. So we'll be looking at that. And also, Z-Predicta is the name of a company that we acquired at the end of last year that adds to our overall product offerings. I'll let Dr. Bush talk about Z-Predicta, but that was a strategic addition to our overall company to allow us to grow even further.
Great.
Yes. So I would like to add to what Mel was saying. At the end of last year, Predictive Oncology acquired Z-Predicta, which is a company that has been able to put together a three-dimensional model for drug discovery. So what does that mean? The way that drug discovery has been mostly done is in what is called 2D. It is a single layer of cells that are tested against drug. And these are cell lines that have been grown over time and have probably lost a lot of the actual patient signal and a lot of the patient details along the way. But we are not necessarily evaluating right now as an industry all of the different components that are present in the true tumor environment of the patient. So what Z-Predicta has been able to do is put together a model in which the tumor cells are present, but then also what is called the extracellular environment is also enhanced. So all of the different components that would be present in the actual patient when they have to take a drug are present there, so that as you are evaluating drugs for development, you have a more realistic environment that the drug will be working on. And this is actually groundbreaking, because she's being able to grow, to create the tumor models, and she's able to grow the cells for up to a month while the partners are doing the drug screening. And it is pretty innovative. And it is something that the founder of the company has already been working with several partners.
Great. If you're tuning in now, this is the Ari Zolden Show, 710 WOR, the voice of New York, here with Mel Engel and Dr. Pamela Bush. Let's turn over to, the growth model. What strategically, what does that look like? Are future acquisitions on the horizon? If they are, if you could share, a profile of what that would look like.
Yeah, I think that we have our hands full right now with Z-Predicta just coming under the umbrella as of November, December of last year, and now we're rolling out our new product. So I don't think we're going to be looking as extensively for business development opportunity, M&A kind of thing right now. I think that downstream, we'd probably be looking at it, but there's nothing on the table right now for us this year.
And let's say over the past 2 years with COVID, has there been any holdup in terms of development?
Not that I'm aware of. None of our people were out for any extended period of time. We were working with a mask policy and a vaccination policy, and that everybody adhered to it. I think that's the smart thing to do. We're a small company. We can, everybody rallied around. Not only, that wasn't something we enforced. It was something that was voluntary. And we everybody did it because they figured it was the right thing to do. So we have missed that problem, which I'm real pleased to say.
And speaking to the investor, what would you tell the investor looking to get into your stock more about the industry or the promise of the industry versus your company?
I think the biggest message is that the pharmaceutical industry is always looking for making things faster and more efficient and smarter. And they're looking for tools anywhere they can find them. And when we can bring a tool that is relatively new to the market, which is artificial intelligence, I think there will be a high degree of interest. We already had conversations with pharmaceutical companies up to now, and they were waiting for us to quote unquote validate Discovery 21 to make sure it was going to work. And so now that it is working, that we can go back to them and be able to say, okay, here it is. And so I think that there's a pent up demand that's there. I think that once they understand how it works, that they're going to see and how it applies in their own business, and that they're going to say, hey, this is good for us. And we'll be able to make it to the point where their needs are met. And I think that's where the two companies work together. They're in modifying the offering to meet their specific needs, or I don't know, whatever this is like a convenience conversation to have between the needs of the pharmaceutical company and our technology. It's not necessarily one size fits all. We're definitely flexible to make that happen within the individual companies.
And whose responsibility is it? I mean, education is probably a very large component of this, both on the AI side and the biotech. Is big pharma doing enough to educate the consumer about how the industry is evolving?
I think that the biopharma industry tries to educate. It is a very complex system. Healthcare, drug discovery, all of it is absolutely very complicated and intricate and complex. I think that there is the opportunity for more education, whether it has to be from biopharma or whether it has to be from just the education system. That is, I don't know if that's my opinion, but there's always the opportunity to educate the consumer, to educate the patient. But I think that as we have these kind of opportunities to be able to bring complex technology, complex platforms, complex solutions to individuals that are listening to us right now, hopefully that is going to spur the interest and the curiosity to learn more about how drugs are developed, how drugs are manufactured. So I think that there's always opportunity to learn more.
And what's on big pharma's radar, their appetite for working with smaller companies? Are things headed more downstream in that direction?
There is an absolute interest in partnering with the right company. As Mel was saying earlier, companies want to do things more efficiently, faster, safer. So companies are open to partnering with smaller companies or other companies that may bring any of those to their own pipeline, to their own processes. So there's absolutely an interest. And as you were saying earlier, Ari, AI is a buzzword. People are interested in it. So there is the opportunity to grow and learn and take advantage and for the industry as a whole to grow together. Because the ultimate goal is to bring the best drug to market that is going to help the right patient. That is in the hands of biopharma, but we have the opportunity to play a role early in that discovery process.
Having worked for two pharmaceutical companies of, I don't know, over $600 million in sales, so I've lived through some of what you're describing. And the research organizations are very complex and very regimented in terms of who's doing what and what directors and what vice presidents. And what. So there's a ranking of responsibility, and there's a matrix of how things are done. So it is a bureaucracy situation. If someone from the outside were to come in, they would go, wow, this is really a mess. But within the pharmaceutical companies, they understand how to get things done that way. And bringing in new ideas is a currency that is highly regarded within the companies. And so we're going to be coming in with something new and something tested. So I think that there's going to be an appetite to be able to say, let's see this and let's try it. And once it's successful, then the word gets out, and then we can use that information to expand ourselves beyond that. So we're going to start with two or three pharmaceutical companies, make a hit, and then be able to broaden this beyond that. So it is it's kind of a feed, success feeds more success. And that Pamela knows how to get through that. Having worked for Lilly, she understands on how that bureaucracy works, be able to go to those gatekeepers or decision makers and be able to expedite this.
Yeah, that in itself, Dr. Bush, I'm sure is a full-time job, just navigating those waters.
Yes, as Mel said, it is a complex system. And to answer a part of your questions you were asking earlier of the appetite, companies are they're always trying to improve. They're always trying to become better. And there's two routes. You can actually do it internally, or you can actually partner with somebody external and have that external growth. And one of the things that gives us the advantage is, as I mentioned earlier, the ability to have access to these patient samples. So a pharmaceutical company may be able to develop artificial intelligence expertise. Absolutely, they can do that. But having access to that, to those samples that allows them to test the different drugs using that artificial intelligence is something that sets us apart.
Why don't you mention what those patient samples are, the 150,000? You did mention that. I think that's very important that our listeners understand what we're talking about.
Yes. Thank you, Mel. Before Helomics was acquired by Skyline and became Predictive Oncology, Helomics was focused on clinical laboratory testing of tumor samples against different drugs. And we have over 150,000 across different types of tumor types that have been banked. And we have a lot of information about those samples, whether it's drug response or information about the individual. Obviously, all of this de-identified. There's no way of tracing back to the individual, but it is a wealth of knowledge that we have that we can then utilize with artificial intelligence to help our partners discover the right drugs to move it into the clinic.
And in terms of the talent that you have at the moment, is it weighted equally to AI versus on the medical side, vice versa? What's the appropriation of it in terms of expertise?
I'd say that the Helomics company that we acquired or merged with, the individuals that were there are still with us. And so I would say that might be, 50 or 60% of the population of the company. And we have other divisions as well that are not necessarily attuned directly to AI. But the Helomics core of folk and the consultants that Quantitative Medicine is a company we acquired along the way. And there are two PhD consultants out of Carnegie Mellon that are under our umbrella, if you will. So we definitely have the AI folks with the company, but we have other things to do that are not necessarily AI tied. But our company is primarily focused on AI right now.
And what are some of the other areas of expertise that you're going to need to bring in-house in order to scale the business?
One of the things I always like to tell the Pamela is that you're going to be enormously successful real fast. What are we going to do? And so we're a small company. We have never done this before. So we're going to need to be flexible in terms of where we flex outwards, or we're going to need additional people in the infrastructure, people in the marketing area and sales area, research area, as we expand and be able to meet the requirements of our customers that are asking us to do, if it's downstream testing or further follow-up or whatever, we're going to need to be able to meet the actual demands of the product itself as it goes forward. And so we've got ourselves a plan that we're creating right now to be ready to employ once the sales start coming in. But as a small company, the sales has to precede the infrastructure. We definitely have a cadre of very talented people on board right now that can handle multiple tasks to be able to get us through that transition period.
And as leading as CEO, Mel, leading the team forward, what are some of the skill sets that you're looking at to be able to incorporate in-house?
I think the biggest thing for me as a CEO is teamwork. Everybody is pulling together for POAI. One of the first things I did when I took over as CEO last year is to get a sweatshirt that every employee would wear that has POAI on the label, on the sweatshirt itself. So we're all under one roof, we one umbrella name, because we had individual visions that really weren't connected at all. And so we're connected. I think teamwork is a very important ingredient when you're a small company and be able to get things done when you don't have that much money to be able to spend. If you compare, we have, 30 people or something. That's nothing in comparison with the pharmaceutical industry, as everybody knows. So we're a mighty group of people. We have an awful lot of PhDs and so forth that are involved with the process. And I guess the other thing is the common goals that we all get compensated upon the achievement of corporate goals and then that everybody has into their incentive systems. So we're all pulling in the same direction. If we have to change direction, everybody changes. It's not just one particular department or another. So we're all pulling in the same direction. And teamwork, I think, will make it all successful for us.
That you use the word mighty, Mel, because that's exactly what I was thinking. It's a small, very smart, mighty, and we are flexible. We need to be flexible as we're growing and we're facing a growth stage.
That's how I feel it every morning.
And it sounds like you've also, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have room also to pivot or to flex if need be.
Absolutely. That gives us the flexibility to, if one thing doesn't work well or works really well, that we can redeploy assets quickly.
And your background, Mel, if you can share that with the audience.
Yeah, I started out in the financial area. I was came out of the University of Colorado with an accounting degree, got my MBA in finance from USC, and moved up within the pharmaceutical industry to become a CFO of Allergan back in the 80s. And then I moved to Canada and was a managing director for the Canadian business and was essentially the president of the Canadian business. From there, I took on positions as the CEO of a medical device orthopedic implant company, into a biomaterials company, and eventually into a respiratory company. And so my CEO background was expanding as I took on more and more responsibility. Along the way, I became a director of companies. So I've been on the board of, I don't know how many companies, but it's I enjoy doing both. Towards the end of my time with Day Pharmaceuticals, I then started a consulting company and actually did consulting to CEOs and board members to be able to re-energize what I've learned along the way to them, to be able to teach them. And that's where I was on the board with Skyline Medical. And when Skyline asked me to be the CEO, I jumped at the chance because I really believe in where it's going as a new company with predictive oncology and what's ahead for us.
And do you see, and this is going to Pamela. Pamela, do you see the space getting crowded?
There's great opportunity. And where there's opportunity, there will be companies that grow. And that is a good sign. I think that if there is competition, that means that we are absolutely in the right market. I think that we have a competitive advantage that I've mentioned before regarding that patient information that we bring. That has taken a long time, over a decade, over a dozen years to build. So that gives us that advantage. I expect that there will be new companies that are coming up, and that would only help us focus and make sure that we are bringing the best solution that we can to our future partners.
And it certainly serves, I mean, you do want competition. It serves as not only benchmarks, but it also creates validation, I suspect,
absolutely,
for the company and the industry.
Absolutely. If there was no competition, maybe we would not be have the right solution.
Okay. That would keep you up at night.
That would keep me up at night.
I think competition's good as long as we win.
Exactly. Exactly. So final words, we're rounding down the hour. Go ahead. I'm going to give it to you, Mel.
We appreciate the opportunity to reach out to the radio audience to tell our story. As a small company, it's difficult to be able to, you know, there's so much stuff that's going on in the world to be able to get our message out there. And so cancer it affects a lot of people. I'm a prostate cancer, I recovered from it. And so I'm a cancer patient myself. So I understand what cancer means and to an individual and to the family and to the environment. Everyone who we talk to knows somebody who has had cancer. So it affects a very broad audience, and it's very motivating to be able to be part of that the solution process. We cannot solve the problem ourselves. We can be a very important ingredient to accelerate the development of cancer cures, if you will, or modalities, whatever. We can bring new technology to the market quicker and more efficiently working with the pharmaceutical companies. They may not have these tools, and we feel delighted to be able to be involved in that overall cancer movement.
Yeah, a very important piece of the puzzle. And go ahead, Pamela, I'm going to leave you with the last words.
Thank you so much. To add to what Mel said, it is a worthy cause, and we're looking to play a small part in making sure that the best drugs are brought to patients. Cancer is not going away. There will always be a need for healthcare and for better and more efficient drug for the population, for the world population. So we are delighted to be working very hard in this segment, bringing this opportunity to customers.
Wonderful. Having a fascinating conversation with Mr. Mel Engel and Dr. Pamela Bush from Predictive Oncology. Both of you, best of luck, and thank you for joining the show. This is 710 WOR, the voice of New York.